I felt like since I was a kid, I always was very fascinated. And, you know, back in the old PC days with like the floppy drives, and I would like play games on them for the most, but they always fascinated me. And I always wanted to say like, no, this is something I'd like to learn and work on every day.
That is Sarah Collin, a Salesforce technical architect for the MedPro Group. I'm Josh Burke, a developer evangelist for Salesforce, and here on the Salesforce Developer Podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we sit down and talk with Sarah about her experiences integrating and developing with MuleSoft. But to kick things off, we start with a project that was a little closer to home.
Sure. So for the local school project, I stumbled onto it when my son started elementary school. And I started attending some of the PTO meetings. And, you know, as an audience person, I would listen to them. And they were just not, they were tracking everything on paper and spreadsheets. And they just didn't really have a very good way of tracking things. And they were sending out a lot of reminders or forms over paper, which, which is the only way they had to do things. And it would, as a parent receiving those papers all the time, we know what a clutter that is and how they tend to get lost. That's where I just sat in and I listened to them. And then I slowly, the idea started turning in my head. Well, what if I could get them to use Salesforce? And I had heard about, you know, Salesforce org, like the free enterprise edition they offer. And so I spoke to them. I went to the PTO president and their board and I discussed it and they were very supportive. You know, they said, as long as you're doing the groundwork for us and you can help us get set up, you know, they were for it. So yeah, that's how that started. You know, I started that process with getting them the licenses and, you know, and getting them transitioned to use the system. And that's what they use today to send all their emails, especially in time of COVID, right? How else would the company communicate?
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to hear, you know, when people are relying on Excel or solutions like that, but to hear that they were still relying on paper is just...
Yeah, they were still relying on paper for tracking donations and for even keeping a track of who had paid, you know, what, and, you know, and how many fundraisers they had and what they raised against each. That was all done manually, so...
and I do want to talk about MuleSoft today, but first I want to talk about something else that you have been involved with heavily. What is Supermoms and what has your role been with it?
Sure. So Supermoms is like an organization. I think it's based out of the UK and they have a presence in the US recently as well. And they are actually helping train moms and dads to come into the Salesforce workspace. And, you know, since Salesforce is very supportive and it's on cloud, a lot of people, especially parents, have found a good career and a family work-life balance working in the Salesforce ecosystem because it's so flexible and lets you work from home. So that's their mission. And my involvement was with them as a mentor. So they have a really, really good program and they have a very aggressive course and they help their mentees with getting onboarded into Salesforce. And they give practical assignments. In addition to that, they also give them a mentor. So that was my role as a mentor. I would check their homework, do like a weekly check-in with them, you know, talk to them about anything that they needed, and then support them towards their actual real life project.
What's the experience gap that you saw there? Were there people who were like sort of technical and then would jump into Salesforce, or were some people really starting from scratch?
Some people mostly were really starting from scratch. So in my case, my mentee, she was actually an elementary school teacher. And she was coming into the Salesforce ecosystem because she wanted a better quality of life. She wanted to spend more time with her family. And she did an amazing job. She went through the course. She was really good with her assignments. And she even got herself certified shortly after completing the course.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. All right. Well, we'll include a link to that in the show notes if people either have, you know, an interest being a mentor or checking out the program, I guess. Okay, so today's topic is something that I think has growing familiarity with Salesforce developers, but many of them probably have not gotten their hands on it. How did you get introduced to MuleSoft?
So I got introduced to MuleSoft where I work at right now at MedPro. So we're basically undergoing a digital transformation. And one of the platforms that we're bringing in for our integrations is MuleSoft. So that's kind of how I got exposed to it. And then given the nature of integrations, obviously, Salesforce was going to be one of the main systems that MuleSoft would integrate to. And, you know, it just fascinated me to learn more about it. And especially since Salesforce announced that they're, you know, they took over MuleSoft, I was like, you know, it was even more motivation to jump in and learn it. You know, like, right. What is MuleSoft? You know, what exactly? Because when they announced it, I remember at the World Tour in New York City, I was there. And at that point, it was just not clear if it's going to be its own cloud. Like, how is it going to work with Salesforce? Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think that was really clear till relatively recently, how they're going to come together. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was just curiosity. And in my career, also, I've done a lot of integrations with other systems. So it was just, you know, just curiosity to see, like, well, what's so special about MuleSoft? Like, how is it different than the other platforms, you know?
Well, so let's level set for everybody. What exactly is MuleSoft and how is it different from other platforms?
Sure. So, you know, you can think of MuleSoft at the very high level as like an integration platform. It's just like an ESB, but it's much more than an ESB. So MuleSoft's concept is to build reusable APIs so that you can help your organization across the board to reuse those APIs. So if you have a new business requirement, you're going towards the API-led approach where you already have APIs against your system. So then if you need to interact with those systems and then if any requirements like those come up, it's first nature to you, you know, those APIs are there. We're seeing a lot of companies come into, you know, come to realize shortcomings who didn't have APIs, especially I think nowadays, you know, when people need access to systems, but they're not necessarily there physically, you need a way to interact with those systems, you know,
right?
And that's through APIs, so you have to think API first.
So, well, and I think that's interesting because from a Salesforce developer point of view, we're so API centric that I think sometimes we forget that not every system on the planet is.
That is very true, and I did not realize that till. And I think as a developer, that comes up when you interact with different systems and you study their SDKs and you're like their APIs, and you're like, oh, I can't do this, or, oh, I can do all of this. You know, some are really, really good, you know, and some are not so good. Salesforce, obviously, one of the really good ones. But yeah, that's how I came to MuleSoft, stumbled into MuleSoft.
Nice. And what were some early use cases that that MuleSoft was an attractive solution for?
So from my perspective, obviously, I was looking at from a Salesforce lens. But I understood the other systems we would be interacting with. But from a Salesforce lens too, for me, some of the early use cases were, you know, given the nature of our integrations, some were going to be real time, some were going to be more batch type integrations, like, you know, overnight feeds or some, you know, a few times a day kind of nature, not real time. So those were the use cases I had. And then I was trying to understand how I could use MuleSoft. So on the Salesforce side, I understood the capabilities that I have, you know, for doing either thing, right? Like for doing a real time, I could do, you know, a real time call out. I could do CDC. I have a few options, right? But, and same for a batch if I needed to send data in batch. But it was just a black box to me from a Mule perspective, how the receiving end would take that and how they would do what they need to with it. So, but that's some of the initial use cases I started looking into to explore MuleSoft and to see how I could do it.
Got it. And I'm assuming that something that's sitting in the middle of a lot of systems, authentication is kind of a big deal for MuleSoft. What are some tips and tricks that people should consider when they're using MuleSoft to log into a lot of different systems?
Yeah, I would say that depends, obviously, on your security requirements, right? Like we're in insurance, so we have a pretty strict, you know, security policy. You know, definitely no named credentials and things like that. We try to stay away from those as much as possible. So, you know, obviously OAuth is the preferred route. If your systems can support that, obviously the system's talking to MuleSoft. MuleSoft obviously has the support for it itself. But the different flows you're going to use will depend on your exact requirements.
Well, and I was just going to follow up with that. So the aversion to name credentials, is that because in some place, in some system, that username and password is getting stored?
Yeah, that's the hesitation, okay. Right? You don't want to expose username password in any way, shape, or form, and then if that user gets deactivated, then what's going to happen to your integration?
Right.
You know, that's like the least preferred OAuth flow if you study on the Salesforce side of it as well.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, anything you can do, if you can stay away from that, you know, in our case, we also use Okta as our identity provider.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the solution that I look to incorporate with our authentication mechanism, which required some research and obviously work from all parties involved, which would be Salesforce, obviously, the system talking to MuleSoft itself, and then MuleSoft to register the app in Okta.
Gotcha. Give me some more detail on Okta. What is it and what kind of solution does it provide?
Yeah, Okta is a well-known identity provider. So just like Active Directory is commonly used, right? So in our case, a lot of people just use Active Directory, but Okta goes more beyond Active Directory, I guess. And they can plug in, they have built-in mechanisms to plug into other systems.
Gotcha.
So we've been able to plugs in with your Active Directory, which is what we've done in our use case. But once you plug it in with Active Directory from within, when you're logged within Okta, you can launch all the different apps like Salesforce, MuleSoft, you know, a lot of others that we use here, AWS, you name it, you know.
So anything from just kind of a standard OAuth flow to like a SAML or SSO or something that's leveraging Active Directory, basically.
Yeah, they support all the different flows, and they just make it super easy for all the systems to plug into Okta, so that from an end user perspective, you know, we just have one place where we log in, and that's Okta. And then when you're logged into Okta, you see all the other apps and you can get into them from there.
Got it. Nice. Now, when you're looking at a fresh MuleSoft integration, what are some of the things that's like first in mind for you before you really start actually putting it together?
The requirements. I guess the requirements are the most important, right? Like, what is the nature of the integration to understand that requirement. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, depending on the requirements, you will design around it.
Mm-hmm. And like, what are some of the specific things that's under consideration? For instance, if I wanted to leverage change data capture with MuleSoft itself.
Yeah, so change data capture is kind of more for like near real-time integrations. So you would use it for when you needed a near real-time data sync to happen between Salesforce and another system. And that system can be multiple systems, right? Because change data capture kind of goes on the PubSub model. So, you know, Salesforce will publish the event and then anybody can subscribe to it. And in our case, MuleSoft can be one of the subscribers and then capture that event and then obviously send it off to whatever target system it needs to.
Got it. Is it being asynchronous? Does that provide any challenges?
No, not that I've run into so far. It is, like I said, near real time. So it is not synchronous, but it is, you know, it's pretty fast. I haven't seen it kick off like a few minutes late, you know. I haven't seen any challenges so far.
Are there times that an Apex trigger would be more have more of an advantage than CDC itself?
I think it depends on your requirements. If you need a response back immediately, as soon as you send out your API request and you're looking to get something back, you know, like an ID, or if you inserted something and you want to get back the ID right now, you know, then that's more of a use case for you to use a trigger, you know. But triggers, you have more considerations about how you would do callouts and future methods. And then, you know, and there's other governor limits related to that, which most developers are probably familiar with. But
I feel like those words specifically at future, at callout, are all things that as developers, we've probably run into a couple of times.
Yes, we sure have. And then, and just being limited in the future method too, right? It can't return anything. So what are you going to do? You have to process everything in there.
Right. And then throw it over the fence and hope for the best.
Yeah. And it does take up more resourcing. So if you do like a debug log and you do like the detailed stats and analytics on it, you would see the performance is a lot better with the obviously the CDC, because it's a fire and forget, you know.
Right, right. No, that makes a lot of sense. Talk to me a little bit about designing for like an enterprise data warehouse. Like what kind of tools and scenarios you might use? Like how does the bulk API play into that and using MuleSoft?
Yeah, we haven't tackled that part yet. But okay. But yeah, I mean, based on what I've studied and researched on it, it definitely seems like a better use for bulk APIs. The only challenge with bulk APIs, I think, is the fact that it doesn't do any delta. So it could be a good option for like a one-time data migration. But from an ongoing sync perspective, it can have challenges because you don't have the ability to do a delta.
Got it. So more of an initial load and then check to make sure everything went perfectly, and if it didn't, try again.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the volume of data you're talking about, right? If it's not a huge volume of data, then it's not usually a concern. But if it's a huge volume of data, then you'll need to kind of engineer your solution carefully.
Got it. I do want to ask a little bit about how OData works with this, because it seems like a very, very specific technology kind of designed for this kind of thing. But to level set for everybody first, what is OData?
Sure. So OData is basically stands for, I think, Open Data Protocol.
I think that's correct. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. And it's basically just a REST-based protocol for that allows you to query and update data. And it's, you know, REST-based. Mm-hmm. But you have to write your APIs a specific way for them to be compatible with OData.
Got it. And I think Salesforce developers, they're kind of familiar with OData in the form of external objects where, you know, I'm working with remote data, kind of like it's localized data, localized in the cloud, I guess you could say. So how does that experience work with MuleSoft?
Yeah, the experience is very interesting. So that was one of the use cases that I was exploring, because obviously if you build in integrations and you need to bring in data and actually view it in Salesforce, that usually means A, either you're storing it in Salesforce, or B, you're building some kind of custom view, like a Lightning web component or something, to surface that data in real time, you know, on your UI. Both approaches obviously have their disadvantages. You know, first one being you're storing more data in your org. Second one, you're doing custom dev. So I was looking at OData and I was like, that seems like a perfect fit for when you want to be able to do view data that's not stored within Salesforce, but you're also saving on the data storage. You don't have to write any custom code. So that's where the idea started churning in my head. And I'm like, well, we only use MuleSoft for our integrations. You know, we're not doing point to point as much as possible.
Gotcha.
So then I looked in Mule and I researched Mule. By default, obviously their APIs are not compatible, like not OData compatible, but they do have like a connector that you can install and you can plug in, and you can set up your project a certain way so that your APIs are OData compatible. So that's how I did like a mini POC on that concept, and it actually worked really, really well.
Interesting. So there's two things I want to point out with that, or follow up with that. First is, and I feel like this is kind of self-evident, but also important, like what you just said there about moving everything, like not doing point-to-point and using MuleSoft to be kind of, I guess, the source of truth. Like how important is that when it comes to designing the integration around MuleSoft?
Yeah, I mean, the whole purpose of having MuleSoft is that, you know, you avoid doing point to point as much as possible and avoid that tight coupling of systems, right? So, you know, come another day, you're writing your APIs to be extensible enough so that you can plug into a different system without minimal rework, you know, on either side.
And to kind of tack on to my second follow up, it's like, I feel like then that adds a whole other layer of convenience if what MuleSoft is doing is kind of converting that data source into an OData friendly one. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. They give you the platform for doing that through that plugin. You have to, there are certain things in you have to set it up to make it OData compatible, but you have to define your OData RAML, which is your specification file. And, you know, MuleSoft is very specification first focused. So that is how they start out, is with your specification file. And you, that's where you define your data model, you know, about the data that you want to return. Then once you define your data model, it actually does a bulk of the heavy lifting for you. You can just generate your Mule flow with the help of that OData.raml file. And then obviously you'll have to plug in the logic for your get and, you know, post methods, depending on your use cases.
So to just, because it kind of occurs to me that that's a little bit like, I feel like somebody who might be experienced that would feel the magic of MuleSoft, because what you're saying is that you can basically take a data source that had no intention of being an API-friendly data source and have it exposed in Salesforce almost like it's a first-party citizen.
Yes, that was like mind-blowing. It really is, honestly, because Mule is extensible enough, right? It has all these connectors to all these systems, even like your on-prem old systems like databases, right? You can just connect there. Even if you're behind a firewall, right? It's if you're, you know, Mule is on-prem, in our case it is.
Right.
Like, it just helps us get all that data out and just expose it in Salesforce and, you know, relate it to objects in Salesforce, search on it, report on it. It was just like an eye opener, you know. It's amazing. It's truly, truly amazing that you can do that.
The idea that somebody's rusty old Microsoft Access database could be a custom field in somebody else's Salesforce org is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is extremely cool. Yeah, I totally agree. And the fact that it's real time.
Right. Nice. You know. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how MuleSoft has affected you. Like, how has learning, first of all, I don't know if we really brought it up before, but you learned MuleSoft out of your own curiosity, right? Like, this was not a company directive for you?
Yeah, that is right. It was not a company directive, but I knew our company is using MuleSoft. And, you know, and obviously I had learned Salesforce had acquired MuleSoft. So I was very curious about it too. And, you know, in my previous jobs, you know, in my career, throughout my career, I've worked on integrations, right? I've worked with Informatica, Cloud, you know, TIBCO. So I was like curious, like, how is Mule like so superior over all of them? And, you know, Salesforce so interested, how does it come together? So that's where I, you know, started to learn about it. I was like, I need to know more.
Talk to me a little bit more about learning MuleSoft. How did you find that experience?
Yeah, it was good. So obviously I started to look for like an equivalent of what you have on the Salesforce side, right? Like a Trailhead. They don't obviously have anything as great, but they do have their own learning platform. Which is training.mulesoft.com. And again, it's a free, there's a lot of free resources there, and there's free self-paced courses. And so since Mule is a very dev focused tool, so if you were compared to Salesforce and you're not a developer, it's not for you. Because Mule is very, very dev focused, and it's built on Java Spring framework. So it's not for non-developers.
Okay. That is good information. And yeah, just to get like, so as a developer, something within the Java wheelhouse is the skill set that I would be looking for.
Yes. Yes, is right. Preferably somebody with Java experience. It would probably be easier for them to catch on.
Got it. And not only have you learned MuleSoft, but you are certified in MuleSoft now. What was that experience like?
Yes, that was an interesting journey. having been certified in Salesforce, I was like, oh, how hard can it be to be certified in MuleSoft? But I underestimated it. But obviously, I felt that, you know, with me, when I first took my first Salesforce certification, I was like 10 years into actual working experience with Salesforce.
Yeah.
And so I did 15 of them over the course of 2-3 years pretty quickly.
Gotcha.
Without any challenges. So I kind of was thinking maybe MuleSoft's not going to be that hard. But
hey, you got this.
Was.
Yeah.
But it was. So it's like I said, it's very, very developer focused. So you need to know the insides and outs of MuleSoft, and you really need to actually do projects practically and understand how to troubleshoot things, how to you know, do your error handling, how different processors work. You know, what is the execution of things? So you really need to be in the nitty gritties to pass that cert. And I did not pass it the first time. So, you know, not to dishearten anybody, but, you know, it is a learning journey, right? Like, I didn't know what the exam was going to look like till I actually went in and I took it. And I was like, oh my God, like when I was in it, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to fast. And I did it. And it was very heartbreaking because I have never failed a cert before.
Oh, really? So, well, how many certs do you have under Salesforce?
I have 15, including them. I'm application and system architect, and I had never failed.
And you had never failed one?
No.
And MuleSoft got you.
And MuleSoft got me, yes. Because you know what? Because I hadn't practically worked on it as much, right? Like with Salesforce, I had worked on those things over the course of my career, right? At some point or the other. So I had those concepts down mentally, right? I'd worked on it, but like MuleSoft was different, obviously. And it had only been like about a year since I've been into MuleSoft that I attempted that cert. So
I think one tip, obviously, I'm hearing is take it seriously. But any other tips or tricks for anybody who might be interested in the MuleSoft cert?
Yeah, you know, don't get disheartened, right? Focus on your area. So they have different sections, you know, and you get scored on the different sections, and different sections have different weightage. So just look at, you know, what you didn't do so good on if you don't pass the first time, and then, you know, go back and focus on those concepts and, you know, make sure you're crystal clear. Make sure you're crystal clear about default behaviors, you know, of all the different elements involved. And then, you know, it's try and fail, right? Like, what are you going to lose? I felt disheartened the first time, but then afterwards I realized, okay, you know what? I didn't know this so well. So this told me what I can work on and what I can improve. And when I went back and studied through those, you know, those concepts became more clear, and then I was able to pass it.
Nice. Now, one of the things that put you on my radar for talking about MuleSoft is your blog, Sarah in the Cloud, and on WordPress. Why'd you start writing about that, and about how long have you been blogging about Salesforce development in MuleSoft?
So I'm new to blogging.
Gotcha.
And I, you know, there's so many people that always like blogs, and I was so fascinated. I was like, wow, you know, this is like my bucket list item, right? And then I was like, I just never got around to it, to be honest. There's always something going on. But then with MuleSoft, I really felt motivated to write this down because I felt there's really no good documentation for a lot of the things that I try to do to bring MuleSoft and Salesforce together.
Gotcha.
Like authenticating through Okta, right? Like I didn't find any documentation, and it took us a while to figure it out. Like, how would I do it? Same thing with like the OData thing. Like there's MuleSoft explains their side, Salesforce explains their side, but how do you put it together, right? I started it because I was like, you know what? Like if it's something that I'm benefiting from, like I'm sure others out there might be looking for that information. And you know, I felt like it's my duty to help the community and help others, you know, by writing that down.
Now, Sarah's blog is pretty great because it does hit that nice niche layer in between beginner information and more advanced topics. So if you're interested in MuleSoft, I definitely recommend checking it out. And we will, of course, include that in the show notes. Now, before we go, I did ask Sarah after her favorite non-technical hobby, and it turns out that yet again, it's getting affected by the pandemic.
Well, I mean, I really liked working out, and especially in particular, I enjoy Zumba.
Oh.
But it's kind of been hard for me given the COVID situation. So I'm not really doing too much of that. But
because you would actually go to the gym, which now you can't.
Yes. So yeah, that was one of my hobbies, which is kind of on hold. One of my other hobbies is baking.
Nice. And that's a very pandemic friendly hobby.
That is a very pandemic friendly hobby and very unhealthy too.
And that's our show. I want to thank Sarah for the great conversation and all the great work she's doing on her blog and within the community. I also want to thank you for listening. And if you want to learn more about this show, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old episodes, see the show notes, and have links to your favorite podcast service. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you next week.